RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Blizzard Val
and
rainy, disgusting, dreary day beans. Do you have the blizzard occurring as we speak?
No, I think we're starting to get at least the first band of it around three, but it's probably around the time that I go live at night that we're looking at, if what they say is going to hits us, then we're looking at about a foot tonight.
And then what about tomorrow? Is it gone?
I think so.
Okay. Well, foot
is
snow.
Is this part of Flynn? The storm, Flynn?
Yes,
they called the storm Flynn.
Wasn't that funny?
Yeah. Hopefully it passes over this house.
I told Joe.
We've been great supporters of the general. I mean, please. I understand his disdain for the East Coast, but come on.
You know, it's like really gross here. It's like 40 degrees, maybe a little less, cold and windy and rainy, but it's like a dreary, gross day. It's gross. Gross outside, so there's that. But yeah, there's literally a winter storm Flynn, and Joe is like, you can't make this up.
I know.
So what's been going on, Frank?
With me?
In Frankland.
Nothing.
Nothing?
Just work. I guess I'm going to have to do the show tonight from my basement where I am right now. In fact, I was going to ask you before this recording if I can sneak this recording live onto my DLive just to see how well all of my ability to take a Skype call at home translates into a broadcast, because that's probably what I'll just be doing, is just taking calls and hanging out. I don't know. There's something about snow broadcasts at home I don't want to do too much writing for.
Yeah, because it's bleh.
Exactly. But other than that, you know, I've been finding things to distract myself with and to have a good time with. Last night's show was short and sweet, and I really, really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to all the Christmas-themed stuff that we have to do over the next week and a half. And, of course, my big daddy Skip, my stepfather, gets his surgery tomorrow. So
I'm glad that's still happening. That's great.
Yeah. My mother brought him up to work today. He works up in Connecticut, and then of course all of his team of surgeons that have handled his kidney situation since 15 years ago, they're all at Yale. So he's just going to stay in the Yale area overnight. They get a discount because he has a procedure going on. And then hopefully he's home and feeling great by Christmas.
That's fantastic. I think everything's going to go well.
Me too.
I think everything's going to go well. And that's good.
Well,
I'll pray. Everybody will.
Well, I know they are. I know people are. And I've been getting emails, and I appreciate everybody. It really is. And I've been sending it out over to Skip, who's he likes to be a tough guy, but I know he's nervous, and people don't know how big of an impact it makes. So
you know, that's
thank you
the
all.
Thing. Whenever I go through on Twitter and I see somebody suffering with something, like their family member's sick, or people go to social media to just get a little lift, you know? And when you've got like thousands of people, I always see these tweets from accounts that are very small that are saying like, could use some extra prayers today because X, Y, and Z. And all of a sudden there's thousands of comments underneath with people just offering their prayers. And it's beautiful. There's good things that go on.
You know, Tracy, not to derail the show too much, but have you ever heard of the author Lynn McTaggart?
Oh, are you going to talk about the thread she did about grief? Was that the one? Maybe not.
She did.
No.
No, I don't know. She was the author of a book that came out in 2007 called The Intention Experiment, or The Intention Experiments. And it was she has studied consciousness, human consciousness, for a great many years, and started conducting numerous experiments on the concentrating of human intention from vast distances, on everything, the power of prayer, things like that. it is really a wondrous thing to see the kind of thing, not only just on how people who are accepting prayer from a concerted group of others that are trying to, you know, help them out or send them good vibrations or anything like that, but even the impact that human intention has on other physical objects.
Like water, for example.
Water, the way that seeds germinate.
It's true.
I mean, it's...
And yeah. We could even get into the, you know, what hertz music is recorded in and all that whole thing, because it's true. These are energy in any kind has an impact on things around it. And when you're expressing some sort of emotion or intention, it's energy.
Yeah.
Physical energy.
Should get Lynn on the show one day.
That would be great. You know, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, dark to light. If we're all about raising consciousness, which that's what I'm all about. Then we should definitely along the way stop to learn about what our powers as human beings actually are. She would be a wonderful conversation.
There was a movie that I just watched the other day. Lucy. I couldn't remember. Sorry. Lucy was the name of the movie. It was from 2014. Basically, they created this drug that, you know, synthetically opens up the human mind to 100% of its potential. And Morgan Freeman is a professor who is, you know, working on this theory that if humans just use 10% more of their brain, they'd be able to change so many different things, interact with physical objects, et cetera, so on and so forth. It was a really good movie. She basically inadvertently becomes a drug mule for this drug, and it leaks into her system as she's transporting it, and she starts to become like superhuman. And she gets to do all kinds of things. It was just a great movie. It was it was really, really good, because it's true. The human body only uses a certain percentage of its brain power. That's why they do these experiments on people like who are like savants or like ridiculously brilliant people to see like what areas of their brains are lighting up when they're doing their work.
Well, there's definitely that, you know, you want to talk about the power of the individual, but even beyond that, you know, you learn along the way about little things like the Maharishi formula, where I believe it's only 1% of any population is what it's taken to really make an impact on that pot. So, for example, there have been meditation and group visualization studies that have shown that even that the 1% of a city, a town, or whatever that have gotten together to meditate on peace and all it that stuff have been able to it makes a difference in crime statistics.
Yep, it really does. I mean, this is all proven stuff, guys. By
proven,
the way,
proven, absolutely.
This is not like some, you know, heebie-jeebie, you know, crazy shoo-shoo stuff or whatever. Dr. Masaru Emoto from Japan was the one who did all of the experiments on water molecules and crystals. So what they would do is have human beings focus on something, whether it be negative or positive, in the presence of water and ice, and then they would freeze the water and the snowflakes all looked different depending on what you were focused on. Like positive affirmations would have a very symmetrical, beautiful shape, and negative vibrations on that water would make the snowflakes gross.
Yellow, dingy, formless. You know, it's pretty much like the difference between socialism and freedom.
Mm-hmm. So, and then your body is 60% water, Frank.
More than that.
Yeah.
So you think about what kind of impact human intention and thoughts have on things like water, and then you extrapolate that out to the fact that we are like 70% water. I mean, it's very, very important to understand what kind of an impact we have on ourselves.
And that is also why I spend a ridiculous amount of time being positive, because it's important. It's very important for how the universe goes, and that's why the power of prayer is so powerful.
Indeed.
So
I'm with you on that.
This was a great beginning. I like this. I think people will be interested. Now we can move to all the crap.
Yeah, let's go on to all the dingy shittiness.
So I just saw a tweet just now that Secretary Pompeo has been identified as having come into contact with someone who tested positive for COVID. He's negative, but he's in quarantine.
Okay.
Also on the COVID train, because it's still happening, guys, even though, like, I think this right now is like the least important thing to be talking about. But hey, Dr. Vin Gupta put out a tweet. He's from
is he related to Sanjay?
I don't know, but he does stuff. He's from the he does NBC and he does MSNBC and he's a member of all kinds of different. Great. The Council on Foreign Relations. Why doctors are members of that, I don't know. But anyway, long story short,
you got to watch out for those Guptas.
Yeah, I know. They're crazy men. Listen to what he says. This is just the fact that he typed this out. I mean, you can't get more subservient. He said, I get my vaccine tomorrow. And did you see all these people supposedly getting the vaccine? But then when you zoom in on the video, they're not even getting anything.
No, I have not seen that. But I'm expecting it. I mean, when I heard that George W. Bush and Barack Obama and Bill Clinton were going to get injected with something on live television to show everybody that's safe, I'm like, what kind of three-year-olds do they really think that they're broadcasting
yeah.
to?
Yeah.
That you think that from a television, if people think that they can fake a moon landing, why would you think that these people are getting injected with anything but just saline?
I agree with you. I think they think that we're stupid, but we're not. So he says, I get my vaccine tomorrow, and I'm grateful to the scientists who labored to make this day happen. After the second dose 21 days later, I will continue masking, distancing, and avoiding travel until Dr. Fauci says otherwise.
Oh, you freak.
Stay vigilant. Ignore the noise. Normalcy is ahead. And I said, are you going to wipe his behind, too? Just asking for a friend. Curious about that. You know, Dr. Fauci. I also tweeted, Dr. Fauci, when... I said, hold on. When Dr. Fauci says so, I'll be a real boy.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
I can't.
So, Dr. Fauci is pretty much just Geppetto at this point. Geppetto.
I was hoping that people would understand the reference.
You got to add pictures. You have to add pictures to tweets like that or else a lot of people will be lost.
I saw... Chillum and someone else had an entire like 67 tweet thread yesterday, all in GIFs.
They work so well.
Yeah.
They're
great. They're absolutely great. Another thing I wanted to talk about today outside of the COVID, besides, you know what? There's this one video I shared where maybe we should listen to it just off the top of my head, where there was a guy, the poor guy is out in California trying to make a living in his restaurant. And just listening to this exchange just made me so sick to my stomach. I'm finding it. Also,
is this the one? I hadn't watched it, but is this the one where pretty much the brown shirts show up with their little pen and paper?
Oh, yeah. This is it. You want to hear it?
I haven't heard it before. I know I was getting passed around, so go ahead.
All right. Here we go.
I follow the rules. I continue to follow the rules, and you guys still, time after time, are giving me citations, telling me I have to close my business.
You're not.
What about my employees?
You're not
following the rules. I am following the rules. My tables are inside. Just because the health department has a whole process to go through that takes however long that takes, I have to close my business for that time. Who's it? Are you going to pay my rent? Are you going to pay?
Make those decisions, right?
I chose to protest by putting my tables outside, and I reiterate again, I never served one single person outside. I did all take out food and delivery to what exactly I was supposed to be doing.
This is sick. I can't believe that we're even here right now, where this little... Everybody should believe it.
And why do we have to keep driving it home? This is why Joe Biden lost, Tracy.
Yes. Yes.
This is why Joe Biden lost. This is why he was talking about defund the police, let it slip because he has really no idea of what he's saying unless it's being written out and he's reading off of a teleprompter. But this is why they were very, very adamant in saying don't even talk about defunding the police. This is why we got shellacked from coast to coast. This is why they lost. Nobody wants to live like this.
I think I have this video if you want to listen to it. I don't know if everybody's heard this before. Here.
anything we put forward in terms of the organizational structure to change policing, which I promise.
Hold on.
They've already labeled us as being defund the police. Anything we put forward in terms of the organizational structure to change policing, which I promise you will occur. Promise you. Just think to yourself and give me advice whether we should do that before January 5th, because that's how they beat the living hell out of us across the country.
Now, why would he be worried about January 5th, Frank?
Hmm? I don't know.
Hmm? What's on January 6th, Frank?
That's the counting of the votes.
The counting of the Electoral College votes. Here, wait.
Saying that we're talking about defunding the police. We're not. We're talking about holding them accountable.
Not only that, but you also have, even though I know that we've gotten off track, but it's all ties in to the what's going on in California and what we're living through. But in that same vein, Barack Obama has even put on out there, stop saying, the minute you talk about defund the police, you lose half the audience. Yeah, you lost half the country, more than half of the country that you had, that they called and considered voters. They lost so many of their voters because of the things that they committed to, the things that they ignored, the things that they explained away. They explained looting and rioting as forms of reparations this year. How the hell could they ever? But they have the media, and they're all traitors.
Literally.
They're traitors. Yes, that's why that this is going on. So they keep telling you over and over again, we got destroyed during the election.
Well, then how is that possible? How is that possible, Biden? This is the thing. Like, I'm trying desperately to find the audio that everybody's talking about, Frank, and nobody has a clip of, which makes me think it might not be actually true, where supposedly in his speech the other night, Biden said, Kamala Harris and I will resign our Senate seats after the election is certified. And every single legacy media YouTube speech that he gave is clipped. So I feel like they took it out.
Another reference to him being a senator?
Yeah, and why hasn't Kamala Harris stepped down yet? They don't believe that. They don't even know that they're going to be in office. They have no idea. And if Mo Brooks can find a counterpart like a Rand Paul or somebody with guts like a Ted Cruz in the Senate to stand up and challenge those votes, I'm telling you, we needed so badly those competing slates of electors to be certified so all of this can still continue. And they were. They're all going to Congress.
It's going to Congress, but we also have to see. I mean, Friday the 18th, Ratcliffe. That's from day 45.
Yeah, and that report, I think, is classified for 60 days, unless President Trump does something about that. But I don't know. He could have delivered it already, for all we know. It's not
exactly.
And you know, not only that, but there's so much going on. Anybody who's, this is why I did this thread yesterday. I just want to read it, Frank, and you tell me if you're on the same page with me or not, because this is just, I am so sick and tired of seeing all these blue checkmark conservatives on their supposedly high horses telling everybody we should just roll over and forget this nonsense because it's over and Joe Biden's president.
Oh, I'm not listening to anybody. Anybody who has, first of all, I used to listen to several people who have podcasts at the Daily Wire. No way. I can't. Weeks now, it's like, it's starting to look kind of bad. We're starting to look like sore losers. We have to find a way to move on. Oh, go to hell.
Yeah.
These are the same people who for 3.5 years of the Russia investigation waited until Brett Baer told them that, it looks like there's nothing here to this Russia thing. Like, they're actually all taking the Russia accusations semi-seriously until the evidence panned out.
Yeah.
Like, nobody is adult enough to just know and follow their gut that, we're seeing a pattern that is popping up here. We're dealing with traitors.
And they're doing it again.
I know.
And, you know, there's only too many – there are too many people out there, to be honest, that – so this is what I said. I said, here's where I stand right now. I have seen consistently over the past few weeks, supposed conservatives and others mocking those of us who choose to fight to expose the fraud and ensure our elections have integrity and the country is preserved. Because despite what they tell you, this election is about much more than a Trump victory. It's about the future of this country. They tell us we're disillusioned. We should just accept the results of an election, quite obviously riddled with massive amounts of fraud. They tell us that we're misleading people. We're giving them incorrect information and lying to them about what happened. They tell us there's no hope. It's time to move on. And none of that's true. I would rather die on my feet than live on my knees, catering to some dark establishment hell-bent on destroying the fabric of our country. I will fight using every available pathway until all are exhausted before I submit to a defeat that was not earned. I'll continue to report information in regards to this election that is true and accurate, and to hell with the naysayers. There's more to be done, no matter what Mitch McConnell, that bastard, or anyone says. There's more fight to fight for than just one election. To those who say we will fix this next time, this is what some of the legislatures are saying. I say we have to fix it now. We will give no quarter. We won't stop moving forward. And then I said, you know, we will see this to this conclusion. The American people will, not the blue check marks trying to cater, not the pundit class, not the establishment politicians, and not the politicians who have chosen to forsake their constituents to save their own wallets and ensure their positions among a ruling class who don't care about them anyway. So let them mock and scorn and taunt. Should we be victorious, we will have saved them too. Should we not, this is a battle and not the war. We will never stop fighting for this beautiful country. And at least for me, I know when I kneel at night to pray and awaken each morning, I did everything I could to try to stop these people from stealing our country. And that's more than many can say. Because it is annoying to see these people like, we should have done this, you people. There are so many pathways. And it's, that's not a lie. There are things happening.
The only way that a defeat is earned is if you, I don't know. I mean, that's just,
if we lost the election, honestly, that's a defeat earned.
I also just don't understand how anybody, even if we don't get what we're fighting for, even if it, the floor falls out from under us, how could anybody even say with a straight face, we'll get them next time?
I mean, seriously.
What we're seeing right now is showing us that there will never be a next time.
No.
Okay?
This is it.
We're seeing that there are systems in place that have been able to manage two sides of the same coin in moderate little ways to make sure that the state always gets their way. And I... And to take such a finally an organic populist movement, which I'm not really a populist, but to see an organic movement of people, to see a chord struck with so many people across so many different types of points of standing, why people gravitated toward Trump. There's no one reason why people did that. There's a plethora of reasons why people did that, and to see such an outpouring and a galvanizing of support across the country in the way that we had seen definitely never in my lifetime.
Nope.
To see that all get flushed away into a squeaker of a defeat.
Because of five cities.
Because of five cities that were so criminally and obviously coordinated. For anybody to say, well, let's not ruffle any feathers and rock the boat and maybe next time we'll get them. You dumb freak. You're either very, very stupid or you're in on it.
Yeah. Yes. McConnell doing that yesterday was just ridiculous. And then Scalise comes out right after. So let's just break it down, Frank, real quick to give people an idea of where we're at with this. And then after the little break, because we've got a sponsor today sponsoring our show, we will go into a little bit about Barr and all the other nonsense that's going on out there. But we had seven states send Trump electors to the Electoral College. They were signed, sealed, and delivered to Congress, okay? It's not like this is up to the governor to send them along. These went. So it was Arizona, New Mexico, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Wisconsin, and there was one other one. Nevada. Seven. All of those states. The last time that this, I don't even know when the last time that seven states were contested. Seven states in this country contested their election. They're saying that the results that they got are not the results they should have gotten. Arizona has issued subpoenas for every last machine in Maricopa County to do forensic audits on all of them. they had their little supervisor of elections on yesterday. You know, the truth is important to us, but we ran this election with integrity. Such nonsense. So we're doing that. The Antrim report that we talked about the other day, people in Michigan are saying, Frank, nobody even talked about it on their local media there.
Yep. No, it is the only way they were able to pull this off is with the complete complicit media that has been gobbled up by a small handful of parent companies for many, many years. And this is the reason why that is so dangerous, because when times are tough and when we need honesty and we need courageous reporting and journalism, they all clam up from the top down, because people like Jeff Zucker are saying, all right, well, this is the 9 o'clock morning meeting, and here's what we're not going to be talking about. And that is what is just done across the board. It is corkboard announcements for everybody. And you have an entire nation that is being kept in the dark. And you have people, I'll keep saying it, Tracy, we would never discount how many people voted for Donald Trump that are not really in the know like we are. They wanted to see Biden lose, but they don't. They still get all of their news from Fox or from some other traditional type of compromised media, and that for millions of people, they probably are seeing this fight as something that's petty and unbecoming, because they're
not enough millions though. Not enough millions are in the dark for them. What I'm trying to say is, just look at my Twitter account in the past month. Because why? Because I'm delivering good information to people. I have doubled my Twitter account in 30 days. Is that because nobody's hungry for truth? I don't think so. I think that, people are flooding to places where they can actually find real information. And I know that this is true because I see it a little differently. I don't see the whole picture. That would be silly of me to say, but I see it a little differently. Although I know, like, some of my neighbors who are conservatives who don't like know what I do because I don't tell everybody. They are always like, hey, what's going on with this election? Blah, blah, blah. Because it's just the topic of the day. And then I take the time to explain everything to them. And they're like, what? Like, nobody gets it. So you're right, but there aren't as many of those people as you think they are, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong. I don't know.
No. We are two people having a conversation, one in the Carolinas, one in New York, discussing what may or may not be certain slices of a pie that has 330 million people in it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of different people represented inside that pie. So, yeah, who knows which slice is bigger, which slice is growing or shrinking. But that's where we are right now. It is a watershed moment.
It is a watershed moment.
I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for reality to blink out, and all of a sudden – people like you, me, and pretty much everybody in this listening audience are just in a new place. I'm waiting for some kind of a flash, like a Men in Black flash, and we're just whisked away to a new plane of existence, and everybody else was just left behind, like almost like a rapture. But I do, because the schism in reality is so hard right now. I feel like it's when you blow a bubble and you watch one bubble turn into two and then finally separate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, when does that –
yeah,
the
schism.
Oh, yeah. There's got to be. Like, I really do believe it's going to be at a point where – you know, it's an old story about the natives in the Caribbean when – some of the explorers from the New World were first coming to shores in the Western Hemisphere, that the natives, they were out on the, just some of them out on the beaches, they'd be looking out at the ocean. And in the distance, of course, the approaching ships, they couldn't conceive, even conceive of the ships because they'd never seen it before. But they saw, you know, the water lapping against something, lapping against, and just like almost like what the hell is on out there? They see the water disturbed, but they actually couldn't conceive of the ships or see it.
Yeah.
It's almost like why how people can not see UFOs that might be right there in front of us. It's almost like that right now where we are so divergent that you can't even see the people, your neighbors anymore. And you can't understand where they come from or what they even are.
It's really weird.
It is weird. It's like the bubble has split, and now I'm just waiting for like a flashpoint separation and we're just in another place.
That could happen for all we know.
Could.
So if you are feeling a little down or you'd like someone to talk to, Frank, today's show is brought to you by our sponsor, BetterHelp.
Oh, I'm probably going to call them after this this recording ends.
Seriously. What interferes with your happiness, Frank?
Well, the first 30 minutes is a pretty good understanding of what's going on right now.
I wonder if there are like conservative BetterHelp therapists. Is something preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp assesses your needs, matches you with your own licensed professional therapist in a safe and private environment. It is super convenient. You can speak to them within 24 hours, send a message to them anytime. You get timely and thoughtful responses. You can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, all without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. Committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so that you guys can make it, they can make it easy and free to change your counselors if needed. Anything you share there is confidential. It is convenient, professional, affordable, and there are tons of testimonials posted daily on their site from people who have benefited. We want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/darktolight. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp, HELP.com/darktolight. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring our show today. Do you know what's going on right now?
With what?
There is a U.S. Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs hearing on fraud and irregularities in the 2020 election going on. Do you want to listen in randomly for just a second?
Sure. Let's see what's going on.
Okay.
Of in-person voting with all the protections and absentee voting that has been repeatedly, including in the Carter Commission report, thought to be a source of significant potential for fraud.
Oh, just to say, when there's no fraud and it's all a conspiracy theory, hearings like this don't happen. This is James Troupas. I don't know where he's from.
Johnson, we just completed a recount. We had more than 2,500 volunteers, or probably more than 1,000 volunteers for the Biden campaign as well. Uniquely, we are able to examine actual envelopes that contain the ballots that are submitted by absentee voters. This allowed us to identify by person, by address, by ward. It's not conspiracy. The real names are in the record. And here's what we found. We found that there were incomplete and altered certificates. These are the certificates on the front of the envelopes that have to be exactly done correctly under our law. If not, those results may not be counted. How many of those? More than 3,000 of those identified by person were nonetheless counted, even though they are clearly invalid under the law. A second category. Initials of clerks are placed on all of those envelopes. Why? Because the clerk identifies it having been properly received and identification is provided. That's the check in advance of the election. What did we find? More than 2,000 of those ballots in Dane and Milwaukee County had no initials at all, but nonetheless, they got counted. We also have special laws in Wisconsin with regard to voting in advance. We do not allow advance voting. We allow in-person and other voting as absentees. So anything before Election Day is under our absentee rules. What did the city of Madison do? They created a system where people could arrive at a park, hand in their ballots in envelopes 5 weeks before the election. They also created boxes. No controls at all, just boxes on corners that you could throw the ballot in. No attempt at all And our statutes explicitly say there are only two ways to submit an absentee ballot: in person or delivery to the clerk's office. That's it. Nothing else is allowed. And yet the city of Madison, we had 17,271 ballots in this category that we identify. There are tens of thousands more because they commingled the ballots afterwards, so we couldn't identify.
I just want to keep listening to this guy.
Oh, I mean, it's wonderful.
I just want to keep listening to him.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. Once again, this guy, and there have been so many articulate,
educated,
and damning,
brilliant,
and, damning, and educated, and brilliant presentations of things like this happening in numerous states across the union. And you ask yourself, if any one of these things are any one of these testimonies are true, out of the many thousands of signed affidavits that are on out there, they are all describing a level of fraud that in itself, the one instance flips the state.
Amen. Absolutely.
I mean, like this, what he just, how, well, what's the margin of defeat for Donald Trump, quote unquote defeat in Wisconsin right now?
Let me see.
12,000? I know Michigan was a squeaker.
Yeah, it looks like, let me do the math real quick. Plus, Georgia's there's more in Wisconsin, too. It's 20,740 votes. That was it right there. That's it.
20,000. And what? And that guy right there just described, what, 17,000 votes in one instance?
In one instance. And then there's the 200,000 votes the Supreme Court just ruled on in Wisconsin that were done under the indefinite confinement statute, that were against the statute. And the Supreme Court in Wisconsin just ruled in the favor of the Republican Party in Wisconsin that nobody talked about. Decision came out the same day as the Trump decision came out. Here, let's keep listening to him, because why not, right, Frank?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is really interesting, and it's happening. You know, this is later on today, but here. Oh, here we go.
Each one that may have been properly cast. Then we have an interesting category called indefinitely confined.
There we go.
These are people which the statute, I read from the statute, by age, physical illness, or infirmity, or are disabled indefinitely. Among those claiming this status, so they don't have to provide any identification. Among those claiming this status is one of the electors for Joe Biden. Who said, I can't get to the polls. We have poll workers who claimed it. We have people who went to protests, people who had weddings, people who had vacations, all claimed this status. I can't get to the polls. So they were able to vote without identification. There were 28,395 people we explicitly identified. Finally, there are other categories in which as much as 170,000 other ballots were submitted without any application. In fact, they considered the certification envelope the application, though a separate application is required by law.
Wow.
3 million people properly voted in the state of Wisconsin. More than 200,000 identified during this recount did not. But those votes got counted. And our statute says they should not have been. That, in our view, is a taint on our election in Wisconsin. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Troupas. And I believe Joe Biden won our state by about 20,000 votes.
Correct.
Ron Johnson.
You're talking about over 200,000 that were outside of our law that probably if the law would have been followed, probably shouldn't have been counted.
Correct.
Shouldn't that have been accepted, shouldn't have been put in the ballot pool. And, of course, the remedy is not particularly pleasing, which is one of the reasons the decision went its way. I'll come back to you. Our next witness is via WebEx.
This is great. Yeah. God bless you, Ron Johnson. This is what I think about every time I see the open letter he submitted during the Ukraine investigation he did. Do you remember that?
I do, yes.
Remember what he said?
Yeah, I know he's talking about the remedy is not pleasant, but, well, yeah. Yeah, I know the remedy is not pleasant. You know what's even more unpleasant? Realizing that we are no better We are no officially no better out in the open. People have always had their suspicions that we are no better than some South American banana republic for many years. But to have this so out in the open in such a in such a brazen way, it really makes you wonder why the hell do we do it? Why the hell there should be black markets that pop up for everything? Why would you give a penny of tax dollars to a machine like this that doesn't care about us? There should be black markets for everything.
I'm going to read this real quick, Frank. This is what Johnson was saying. He was being attacked by the media for being a Russian stooge, basically, during the investigation into Hunter Biden. He said, it's neither me, Chairman Grassley, nor our committees that are being used to disseminate Russian disinformation. Instead, it's Democrats in the media that have been doing Russian President Vladimir Putin's work for him. Puppet masters in the Kremlin could not be more pleased at the political division and discord that has been driven by the resistance movement against President Trump. Then he brings in Mark Zaid's tweet about the coup has started. And he says the left is relentless. They play for keeps and they don't let rules or the truth get in their way. Now, many of the same players that engineered a special counsel and impeachment against President Trump are brazenly teaming up again with a different target in mind. Me. They're using the same tired old canard of Russian interference. You'd think they can come up with something better than that, but here they are confident they can pull it off again. And with a compliant media, why wouldn't they be confident? And then he goes on to basically say that he never thought that he would be saying stuff like this. But there is basically a dark power establishment that is seeking to destroy anybody who tries to expose this corruption. I'm going to put this in the
show notes
for everybody to read. It's like 9 pages long. It's really, really good. I read it on my YouTube channel because it was that serious. And he's a hero. I mean, Ron Johnson is really, he took a lot of heat from even conservatives on this, which I was just stunned for. I was like, wow. I'm telling you, Ron Johnson is one of the good guys. He really is. He's one of the good guys. And if there may be a senator, since he's giving this hearing here, he's giving this hearing at the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. There's any senator who may step up and also contest those electors, it might be Ron Johnson. What does he have to lose at this point?
No, he doesn't have anything to lose, and he's already done things that are equal. In fact, you can say that him heading up a committee hearing like this to bring this kind of stuff to the fore would be setting the grounds for more bold action.
Yes.
He just said it. We heard him say it live right now. The remedy is not pleasant, but oh boy. Well, hopefully he can be part of that remedy.
I hope so, because someone's got to do it. And when history looks back on these days, they will look back at the people like the Ben Shapiros of the world who crawled under their desks and kowtowed for some kind of favor. And then they'll look back at the patriots who sacrificed literally everything. Because that's what they're doing. If, God forbid, they're not successful, they are destroying themselves. They're putting a target on their back. They are hurting themselves to save the country. You know what the backlash will be.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And like, I'm glad you brought up the Ben Shapiros.
I'm so tired of these people.
Everybody at Daily Wire, pretty much. I love, for years, Andrew Klavan. But I can't listen to him, at least until this all passes and maybe some time passes. I used to run to him for a number of things because he was funny, insightful, did a lot of cultural reviews, things like that. But I can't I think about Ben Shapiro now and Andrew Klavan, these types that they just seem like they have these wonderful little lives and they wear really cozy sweaters and they have money and they have their nice little circles. They
and
have
studios
studio and everything's cozy and warm and fireplaces and scotch and cigars. And I'm sure that they have a nice little existence carved out inside of all this madness. For anybody to say that little people, because I'm sure that Ben Shapiro doesn't have a little shop in California that is being harassed by low-level government goons. I'm sure that it's easy for him to say, let's move on. We have to move on.
Yeah, yeah. This is the thing, Frank. If there was nothing happening right now and it was over and there was, you know, I All I'm saying is it's not over. And I and you and me and I'm a regular person. We're the everyman out there. And I am so tired of these people lecturing to everybody about how they should feel and how they should act and what they should be doing from their little perches next to their fires with their cigars and their scotch and their bourbon. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. Get, no, I can't take it.
They won't get dirty. They won't get dirty. They want to save themselves. Godfrey, they have a nice little class going on over there. They're in a, you know what there is? There's this schism, like we used the word before, in the conservative movement, where there's a little rich yuppie conservatives that have their little conferences and they go and do their thing and it's a big click and they think they're so important. And then there's the everyday men and women who are busting their asses to try and even survive, that are pouring money into these idiots' pockets, excuse my French, so that they can be looked at and thumbed their nose at and condescendingly mocked and sniveled at. Screw those people. Screw them all. Now's not the time for that nonsense. They're going to be fine if there's a President Biden. Frank, you want to know why?
Why?
They're in the club.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why it's the same thing. It's the same club that Chris Wallace is in.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake. These people, they, if you think, I mean, we're the ones being told stay home for Christmas. Chris Wallace is going to show up to all the same parties he's ever had.
Yep.
Jake Tapper is going to stroll on into all the parties he ever had. He's going to, there's going to be people doing rounds of snooty little cheers with long stem champagne glasses. These bastards, they have completely sold their souls and sold their country. They sold their home. That's
it, and you know what the worst part of it is, Frank? At the end of the day, they're no less slaves. As a matter of fact, I'd argue that we are more free than they are, regardless of the outcome. Want to know why? Because why? We have our hearts, our souls, and our brains. We have freedom. And it's just going to take a lot of people. They're not there. Can you imagine having to be one? They can't be real. Like, they can't be for real. They can't really believe this stuff that they can't. You know, in their little suits. We've got to get these people. And you know what the best part of it is for me? It's seeing that all of these people in the world, like that we're talking about right now, they think they wield so much influence over the rest of us. They do. But they don't. They're suffering. And they'll continue to suffer because
we actually hate them.
We do very much. And I think more even people like you, like who listen to these people all the time. You know, there's a lot of people like that listen to folks like that all the time that are just like, ew, we know you're lying to us, you jerk. Goodbye.
Yeah. No, I literally hate them.
I know.
And let me also just say, I find the ideas of sitting around a fire with
nice.
Some bourbon and a cigar to be very, very nice. I want to wear cozy sweaters. I just don't want to be a prick.
Yeah, you don't want to sell your soul to do it. No.
You know, it's like, I like my little bubble.
Yeah.
I like my little bubble.
So stupid.
Please, 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 please. No unrest. I like my bubble.
We've got to continue. We've got to continue keeping the people at bay.
Exactly.
Making sure that they're pacified.
Ben Shapiro is syndicated. I'm
so
syndicated. I know what I'm talking about.
Nah. He's like, God, he was probably. Mm. I'm sorry. I can't. I've tried. But there's no brain in that head to go on with the Russia nonsense for as long as he did and not understand the, like, not even do the due diligence as an attorney. Isn't he an attorney?
Yeah, and this is why I said I don't. These are people who sat around and they actually followed the mainstream media's lead on this Russia nonsense that was so incredibly transparent from the beginning. Yeah, but was it really transparent? We have to wait and you have to see how it all. Now this is what looks suspicious. This looks suspicious. Oh God, you suck! Oh God, you suck!
Because they were just lying to everybody.
Oh, God.
Will just sent me a meme. Will just sent me a meme. We went from 4 years of Russia rigged the election to elections can't be rigged really fast, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, it went even faster. You know, that was a 4-year transformation. Remember August of 2016. Barack Obama it was like a Rose Garden a press conference or something like that. And he said it is like inconceivable to even think that an American election could be rigged. I think that Donald Trump should go on out there and stop whining and try to get people to try to vote for him. He said that in August of 2016, it's impossible to even think an American presidential election could be rigged in some kind of a way. And then lo and behold, 3 months later, the cries of Russia began.
Mm-hmm.
On his watch. Have had to happen on his watch.
Now they're even trying, Frank, to bring Russia back into this solar winds thing.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous. We didn't even talk about that today. We didn't talk about solar winds. We didn't talk about Barr. All I have to say about Barr is, okay, he's gone. Let's move on. Fine. The guy who's taking his place has experience in foreign interference in elections. Who knows? President Trump, like Brian said on a little conference call we had yesterday, he seems to be a more project type oriented leader, which is absolutely true. He puts people in places, gives them a project, and then they're done. So he's still working. I don't know. I don't have any opinion about it. I was never, if he's letting him go, there's a reason. I don't think he resigned. I mean, if you were Bill Barr, wouldn't you be sick and tired of this damn crap?
I have not seen any, as much as everybody has been suspicious of Bill Barr, and I've had my suspicions as well, only ever cautiously optimistic about his time as Attorney General. I was hoping that Matthew Whitaker was allowed to take it. I wanted to see that guy bench press the shit out of the entire Washington D.C. Swamp area over there. But you know, I was looking at this. I was looking at this resignation or not. So there's no word of resignation. There's no word of firing. There's only
he's going away for
leave.
Christmas. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, going away for Christmas.
You know what? You're right. That's weird. But they're appointing an interim, so.
Yeah, well, that's why I said there's no inkling of a firing or a resignation, but there is a showing of great affection between both Donald Trump and Barr, and it's a vacation that requires an interim to be appointed.
And
it is for anybody to think that this is a cut and dried kicking out, it's not. It may be, but I mean, he has not been. Trump has not been shy about severing ties and what it's all about in the past.
And the letter gives us lots of hints and clues. The first paragraph of the letter, for instance, real quick, and then we've got to jump off. But the first paragraph of it says this. Mr. President, I appreciate the opportunity to update you this afternoon on the department's review of voter fraud allegations in the 2020 election and how these allegations will continue to be pursued. At a time when the country is so deeply divided, it is incumbent on all levels of government and all agencies acting within their purview to do all we can to assure the integrity of elections and promote public confidence in their outcome. Interesting. First paragraph. It was great.
What about that other thing? He has some things to wrap up.
Yeah, he has a few things to wrap up this next week before he goes, you know, for Christmas. But hold on a second here. I just want to see where we're at with this hearing. I have a couple of interviews, one in about 10 minutes, actually. So that's why I'm kind of rushing here. But let's see.
And probably
It's Chris Krebs. I got Chris Krebs trending the other day. I don't want to hear this guy. We're going to go. CISA, former CISA guy, worked for Microsoft.
Yeah.
God.
You know, I've moved away from throat punches.
What are you on now?
I went from throat punches to strangulation, and now I just want to do open palm slaps across the face.
Oh, that's fun. Anybody who wants.
I went in today. I want to start with Chris Krebs. I want to slap him right across the face.
So let's just quickly go over. Next week, we will not have a Friday show because it's Christmas.
Okay.
And I don't know what's up. What?
Quitter.
You want to do a show on Christmas?
No, I'm just kidding. No, absolutely not.
I mean, I'll be here. I could do a show.
No, that's all
right. Listen to it.
We still do the third. We do Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
The 23rd.
And then Friday, the next Friday is New Year's Day. I don't know if you want to do that. I'm fine with it.
New Year's Day? Yeah, I think I should be able to do that. I don't know. Sometimes we host breakfast. I'll let you know. I'll let you know next week if we're the one hosting New Year's Day breakfast. I won't be able to do it then.
It would be nice if we gave Jerry and Jason a day off.
Yeah, okay.
Because so it's New Year's Day, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we have a whole new year of working ahead of us. We might be able to take a day off.
Yeah. Well, you have been listening to the Wednesday edition brought to you by BetterHelp of the Dark to Light podcast with...
Blizzard Val and...
Beans. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com until Friday.
Later.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
The issue in college football that is going to make its round on all the shows is Ohio State deserving? Have they played enough games? Four best, four most deserving. What is it? How is it? What should it be? You've heard me discuss. There's no real organization on the national college football level. And, you know, when I say there should be a de facto commissioner or something, I am not talking or seeking someone that will run the sport. I don't think that is the case. And, you know, Roger Goodell doesn't run the NFL, but I know people are not happy with government. At least it's not a dictatorship. And if there's one thing that can protect, at least from a governmental standpoint, and I'm not a political person, and people that are more learned about politics can maybe do pros and cons. And I really appreciate not getting into it because I don't really not into it. I'm using it in an analogous way. But when you have a Senate, House, you know, presidency, you've got a lot of people involved. And if there's one thing that maybe is good potentially in colleges, you usually have a board so that you can prevent somebody from going rogue. But yet it's much more complex and it makes for some interesting decisions. And I have been a belief that college football is something that should be looked at from what's best for the entire sport. That is not the way it is. It is all for one and one for all.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.